Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy Yule, happy Hanukkah, all the things, basically,
yes.
Is going on right now.
Yes.
As we are recording this, we'll be actually a little late with this episode. We took Christmas Day off and chose not to record.
Right.
To spend it with family. So actually, we're recording, editing, and all that stuff in one day.
Yes.
On Boxing Day.
Yay!
Go team. But yes, we hope that you have had a happy, happy holiday season, and that you got everything you wanted in your presents. I know we got some really cool masks.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about playing around with those. We got some other fun haunty stuff, too, that I'm excited about. So,
yeah. Yes,
we did well for ourselves. We did well for others in our lives.
Yes.
Putting our haunt skills to work, assembling, ended up being pre-made furniture. We were going to build a very lovely shelving unit.
Right.
But then we realized we actually couldn't build it as cheap or quite to the standard wanted.
As quickly. No, we could. We can build to standard. It just wouldn't be as fast.
Yeah, we basically were on a time crunch. So
yep.
It was pre-built. No shame in that. It got the job done and was a much appreciated gift.
Yeah.
But yes, we are back. And it's episode 56. 56 is divisible by 4. I know the math is getting harder.
Yeah.
But it was like real easy. Like we're in episode 12. Episode 12, it's divisible by 4. Duh. We know.
Yeah.
Now it's 56. I'm sitting there going 4, 8, 12. Making sure I'm going to count on all my fingers.
Yeah.
But yes, it is time again to do the news. And a couple of these stories we've talked about previously, but we're going to provide some updates and some new details on. And, a surprisingly large amount going on in the industry this holiday season.
Right. Not to mention that conferences are starting up again
next month. It's coming. So, yes.
Yep.
Are we doing our conference reminders then?
We always do.
So, on that note, do you want to kick off or shall I?
Sure. So, January 14th through 17th, we have Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Convention Center. There will be 350 vendors. Requires business verification, which is easy to do. It's a really quick form on HalloweenPartyExpo.com. If you're in town, let us know. We'd love to meet you.
Yes, let us know. You can inform us politely on Twitter at Haunt Weekly or Facebook at Haunt Weekly, or go to HauntWeekly.com and look up information there. That stuff is there, too, basically.
Uh-huh.
Well, if New Orleans isn't your speed and you'd rather be in Hawaii, then you can go to the Corn Party, January 17th through 20th. It's on multiple islands in Hawaii. It's aimed at operators of corn mazes. And if you are so inclined, you can learn more at themaze, themaize.com.
Then we have one of the big ones, HauntCon, January 26th through 30th at the Sheraton Nashville Airport in Nashville, Tennessee. Tours of Haunted Hell Nashville, Nashville Nightmare, and Slaughterhouse. HauntCon.com for more information on those.
Yes, indeed. And then around Chicago, in Oak Lawn, Illinois, which is like just outside.
Right.
It is the Windy City Haunters. It's February 18th through 19th. It's at the Midnight Terror Haunted House, which is interesting to me. I found that one fascinating. A conference at a haunted house.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Sounds a lot of fun to me. Tickets are just $20. And that includes free classes and a free mixer party and a free after party, too. So that's a hell of a deal, guys.
Yeah, I would be going if we were close enough.
I'm broke as hell, but I would go to that one.
Yeah.
if I were close enough, I'll be honest. Check it out at Windy Centers, WindyCityHaunters.com. But really, the main info is on Facebook, so go search for Windy City Haunters. That is a tongue twister and a half. Search for it on Facebook, you'll find it there.
All right. Then another big one, Transworld. Halloween and Attraction Show, March 23rd through 26th. It's going to be at St. Louis, Missouri, America Center. early bird discounts are $50 off through basically when they open the doors.
Yeah, basically.
Just do it a couple days before, you'll be fine. New this year is an escape room city, a whole zone about escape rooms, because that's the big new thing. Still.
Big new trend, guys.
Yep. And find more information at HaShow, HaaShow.com.
Yeah, that name always intrigues me. I can't help it, because it's such a difficult one to communicate. All right, May 1st through 5th, it's the Room Escape Conference and Tour. It's in Niagara Falls, New York, at the Niagara Falls Conference and Event Center. They'll be touring the Five Wits Escape Game Canada and the Locked Up Escape Games. Now, if you did not hear me mention the word Canada like multiple times there, you will need a passport to go to all this, or the passport card at the very least. Keep that in mind. The conference is on the 1st through the 3rd. The tours are the 4th and the 5th. You can learn more at roomescapeshow.com. And that one I can communicate very quickly and easily.
Right. It's kind of the same name.
Exactly.
So then we have May 12th through the 14th, West Coast Haunters Convention. It's going to be in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel. Tour of Hour to Midnight Room Escape, Labyrinth Room Escape, an escapism room escape. Jeez, that's a lot of escape rooms.
Yeah, not my fault.
I know. More information at hauntersconvention.com. That's haunters with an S.
Yes. Then you have the Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio. They'll be touring the Scaratorium. It's June 8th through 11th. My apologies there. They'll be touring the Scaratorium. Other tours still TBA. Learn more, get updates, and all that jazz at Midwest Haunters, once again with an S, convention.com.
Okay. Then we're finally to July. July 29th and 30th. It's Midsummer Scream, Long Beach, California Convention Center. It's put on by Creepy LA and Theme Park Adventure. There are very few details right now, but
it's a little early to be fair to them.
Yeah. So keep up to date on the latest information at midsummerscream.org.
And when I type it out in my head, I read it as midsummerscream.org. it didn't click right away for some reason.
Oh, Jonathan.
But anyways, yes, indeed. Thanks to Tim Fowler for getting the heads up on that one on Facebook.
Yes.
After that, Haunt Fair, that's F-A-I-R-E, is August 4th through 5th in Rankin Coma, New York, the Clarion Hotel. There'll be a haunted bus tour on Friday. Once again, that is a bus that goes and visits haunted places, not a tour of a haunted bus. Learn more at haunt-faire.com, hauntfaire.com.
Then, August 5th through 6th, we have Scare LA. So this is the same time as Haunt Fair, but on the other side.
Yeah.
So, in Los Angeles, the exact location's unknown.
Yeah, they don't.
Will be coming up.
Yeah, they don't have any real details yet.
Right.
But they have announced the dates. It's at scarela.com.
Right.
Keep up there. They have all the stuff from 2016 still up, which is how we got in trouble with previously.
Yeah.
In fact, it was on this very next one we had the problem. It was Halloween and Haunt Fest Show, August 25th through 27th, is in Dallas/Fort Worth in the Mesquite Convention Center. Now, previously we talked about what all they were doing, including
right.
the Cater versus Jason and
yeah.
the Walking Dead zombie thing. Turns out that was last year's stuff.
Yeah, Tater got on our Facebook.
Yeah, Tater actually got on our Facebook.
Thanks, Tater.
Thanks, Tater. Brian Foreman from Haunt Topic with the big assist on that one.
Right.
Yeah, it turns out the site has last year's stuff, but this year's dates.
Right, so we don't even know that it's actually at the Mesquite Convention
That's a good point. We don't know. We know the dates, and that is it. But you can get equally confused yourself at HalloweenandHaunt.com.
Right.
Godspeed. Have fun with that.
Really should have taken a screenshot of that.
Yeah, we should have.
Put it in the show notes.
You know what? I wash my hands of blame on that one.
Yeah.
I was set up. I tell you, I was framed. Framed, I tell you.
Yep.
But anyways, it's time to do the news. And one thing we don't want to cover too in-depth, because it was very big this year.
Right.
Haunts opening for Christmas / the holidays.
Yes.
There were a lot.
There were. You know how last week we talked about all the
Christmas demons?
Well, that shows that there's a lot of room for growth here, because a lot of haunts are doing Christmas shows now.
Yes. And it's very interesting. Maybe we should do like an entire episode on this.
Okay.
But one of the problems we have with that is none of the haunts in our area are in on it yet.
Well, not only that, but I bet it's a challenge because you have to tear down or redress your October one in a month, a little over a month.
Yeah, and you're doing it just for, most of these only did it for like a couple of nights.
Right.
So you're not doing it for like a full run.
Right.
You're only doing it for a couple, maybe a week or a few nights or even just one night in some of these cases. But yeah, there were a couple of really, like, go back there. None of the haunts in our area do it currently. The mortuary did a Christmas thing, but it was decidedly not a haunted house. They did an actual Santa's workshop thing.
Oh, did they bring it back this year?
No, not this year. They did it previously.
Okay.
That's why I used the past tense. Well, I guess past tense would have worked, you know. But anyways, they did not do it this year. They did previous years. And basically, they would tear down the haunt and have Santa visit an actual mortuary, which I always thought was just a little weird, but, you know.
And basically, it was a Santa's Village thing for little kids to come and meet Santa.
And go get photos taken with him and blah, blah, blah.
See,
it was expensive, too, if I remember correctly.
It was. That's why we never went.
That and we don't have kids, so...
Yeah.
Two valid reasons.
We had people who we knew who worked there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you take your haunters out of scary makeup and put them into elf costumes,
and they're going to be really happy about that,
yes, you know?
They loved every minute of it. I did not hear a single complaint from any of the haunters we know who did both.
Right.
I believe one used the expression pea-stained brats to describe the kids and having to deal with them.
Yes, not our commentary
not
on
our
kids.
Not our comment on kids. But that expression was used.
Right.
But yes, but it is a growing tradition nonetheless. 13th Floor Haunted House, that is in Denver, I believe. Mm-hmm. Did a Krampus-themed event.
Right.
The House of Torment in Austin also did one. They did it for only two nights. An interesting, and I liked this one, Netherworld in Atlanta, one big one,
right.
We're talking about them in a minute elsewhere.
We are.
They actually opened for one night as an encore. They did not do it holiday themed. They just kept it as was.
Right.
But the idea was attendees could only go in six at a time. Only six allowed. Basically, you got like timestamp tickets.
Yeah.
When you could go in, and you were led through the haunt via a rope.
Which is interesting.
This is a really interesting, really bizarre way, I guess, to reach your Uber fans.
Yeah. I think it would be, if they wanted to tie Christmas into it, which...
Make it pencil!
They don't have to. Well, yes, they could do that. But you could have Krampus tie them together with a rope and lead them.
Yeah, we might have watched a few Krampus movies this year, too.
Yeah, maybe last night.
Maybe last night, even, yes.
Also, real quick, Japes actually just advertised that Chicago Fear, and the reason I'm saying this now, is doing an event pass that's $100 for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 events throughout the year, including next year's Christmas show that they're doing.
Yes.
Which is why I'm mentioning it now.
Yes.
But, and a discount off of their regular Halloween show.
Yeah, it's more of an anti-season pass, if you think about it, because if you think of haunt season,
this
is stuff outside of haunt season.
Right, exactly. That's to keep customers coming back year-round every couple months, which is pretty smart.
I looked at the list, like, one of them was a laser tag thing. They just did all these, like, every 2 months. They're doing at least a little something.
Yeah, it's a great way to keep in touch with your customers.
Very cool idea. I agree. That's a very, very cool idea. Like I said, countless haunts. You just take a spin through Google News on this one.
Yeah.
And you will see dozens of haunts. I just tried to pick out some of the names I really recognized.
Right.
And highlight. But yeah, there were just too many to count. It seems to be a very, very big thing this year. And, you know, that's one of the challenges we face in this country. It was interesting. One of the news stories that came up that I think we'll talk about in a future episode was from India.
Right.
They had a new haunted attraction opening up in a mall in a small town, year-round one. And see, where other countries, they don't have this attachment to the haunt season, quote-unquote, this September, October. We, as an industry, need to find a way to break out of that.
Yeah.
Because we are being stifled by that and unable to make money year-round, except for these rare, you know, unicorn...
Yeah.
Year-round haunted attractions that mostly operate in heavy tourist areas.
I wonder if haunts could sell, like, special behind-the-scenes tours for people who are really into haunts. I would have loved to have gotten tickets to go and see a lights-on tour of my favorite local haunts.
I know 13th Gate used to offer that sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, I mean... I know, but 13th Gate, their main way of making money during the quote-unquote off-season is to sell it as a set for movie shoots and TV shoots.
And now they also have the year-round escape rooms.
Yes.
So.
And that is our interesting way of being more year-round now, is the escape room.
Right.
I just pray that the escape room thing is not a fad that passes, you know, in 5 to 10 years' time.
Yeah.
I worry about that. But anyways, so let's talk some news. We got sidetracked pretty bad there.
Yeah.
It's only a 50-ish minute podcast, as I like to say.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so first off this week, we talked about this previously, but it's worth a quick update. Gatlinburg's mysterious mansion was spared.
Right.
In the recent Gatlinburg fires. The story is incredible. How they did this.
Yeah.
And since then, since we last talked about it, security camera footage and other things have come out that have shown just how close that wildfire did get to them. It measured within feet.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really close.
I would say eye looked like it was 10, 15 feet away tops.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like silly close. And they managed to save it through what you can only describe as haunter ingenuity at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They basically went to the hardware store, got a bunch of sprinkler heads and duct tape and whatever they could, and ran the hose all the way around the property and basically made a perimeter of sprinklers that shot outward.
Right.
And it was enough.
Ran it for 4 hours.
Ran it until it couldn't run no more.
Yep.
And it worked. It's amazing. Now, they did suffer some wind damage, because one thing people don't realize about big forest fires is all that heat causes temperature imbalances and some nasty wind.
Right.
So they did suffer some wind damage, but they were still able to reopen almost as soon as they got the all clear.
Yeah, they reopened on December 9th.
Yeah, at noon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was really, really great. And the crew immediately set about and said, well, we're okay. No, let's put this community to work and getting donations for the others who were more impacted by it. So they've been working very hard on that. It's also worth noting, and this is one of those things that's like, oh yeah, there is another attraction, isn't there?
Yeah.
Ripley's Haunted Adventure in Gatlinburg also survived, as did all the other Ripley's attractions, and they reopened at the same time.
Yeah.
But apparently they were more downtown, so they were apparently less danger.
Right.
Whereas, literally, like I said, Mysterious Mansion was within feet.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. But yeah, so kudos to those guys, not just for their ingenuity, congrats not just for surviving, but also for being great community members and working to help your neighbors. That is awesome.
Yeah.
This is like the feel-good story of the year for me in the haunt industry, I think. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this.
Yeah.
Wow. Start on the high note, and we're just going to go back down to a really sad story. Scott, we talked about this one previously, too. Scott Dombrowski, behind Raven, behind blah, 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 blah.
Raven Haven.
I cannot believe I screwed that one up. Raven Haven, a large and prominent home haunt in Liverpool, New York, died. He succumbed to his injuries in a fire. He also, out of his home, ran a reptile rescue program.
Right.
A lot of tongue twisters this week.
Yes.
Reptile rescue program. He went in to try to rescue some animals, was overcome, and was pulled out and eventually died from his injuries. It's a sad, tragic story. They did set up a GoFundMe.
Right.
Initially, it was going to be for his medical expenses.
Right.
But after he passed, to help with funeral costs and other things, too. They've currently raised a little bit over $14,000. They have a $100,000 goal.
Yeah.
I don't know how... firm that goal is.
Right.
But anyway, so...
It is still open.
It's still open, still ongoing, mm-hmm. So please, you know, help support our fellow haunters. You know, it's... That haunt has had a lot of struggles over the recent years.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it there for now, but yes, mm-hmm. All the sympathies in the world for family and friends and those who knew him, and to the haunters and to the community, we lost a great brother here.
Yeah.
So on the news that we haven't talked about recently.
Right.
Netherworld.
Yes, we just mentioned them.
Yes, we did. They appear to be moving.
Yeah.
This is actually really, really interesting. Okay, this is an article by Tyler Estep at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Gwinnett County Planning Commission unanimously voted to approve the rezoning and the permits they needed to move... their attraction. They are taking over two warehouses,
mm-hmm.
and basically would they needed a whole bunch of special use permits and other things to be able to operate out of that location.
Right.
And they got pretty much everything they needed.
Yeah, they did. And they're also moving to a 9.5-acre site, which gives them a lot more room. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, they've been kind of cooped up, was my understanding. I've never actually been to Netherworld.
I know. We've never really made it that far.
Well, it's like, I have the same problem with Netherworld that I have with, like, Eastern State Penn.
Uh-huh.
Which is, I've been to the city. I've been to the city a lot.
Right.
I've been to Atlanta a lot.
Yeah.
Just never at the right time of year.
Yeah.
It's just, that time of year is not travel season for me, because we're working on our haunt, and we're doing our stuff.
Right.
So I don't get to travel a lot.
Well, maybe if they do their Christmas thing next year, and we go to visit your parents.
There you go,
we can stop by.
You know, boom, good idea. I like this. I like this thinking here. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's just not, haunt season is not travel season.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's when all the haunts are open.
Yeah. I think we all know that plight.
Yes, we do. This is why every haunter I hear, every haunter, especially the professional ones, always say, the thing I miss most is being able to go to haunts.
Yeah.
That's like the number one, you go to Haunt Con.
Yeah.
That's like the number one complaint. That's why the haunt tours are so popular everywhere
right.
you go.
I think it's one of the reasons we've stepped away a little bit from the idea of going full pro, too. Because that is one of the big considerations, because we really love going.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things that we always think about is, well, you know, if we do go pro, we do make this our full-time job, we can't go to haunts, at least nowhere near as many.
Right. We can't go. We can't meet the other people. We can't see the innovation. We can't, there's a lot there. There's a lot there that would be missed.
Because, I mean, that's my favorite part about going through haunts is seeing an idea and going, okay, how do we make that ours?
Yeah.
What do we do with that?
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing a falling fence somewhere and then turning it into a collapsing tunnel.
Yeah.
I remember that one very well because we took the idea from it and I'm like, okay, that mechanism's really interesting. What can we do with it?
Right. Well, and I know that the first year we went through House of Shock, there was the roof that was collapsed, the church steeple that was collapsed into the church. But it was just a static thing. And I'm like, well, what are the, you know, we got with our crew and it's like, what are the two things that you remember most about going through the haunt? It was that and the barrels.
Yeah.
You know? So we're like, oh, we could probably make a falling ceiling.
Yeah.
And we did. And we had a few iterations of that one.
We've had a lot. That's one of those that we've put through a lot of paces over the years.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Anyway, back to Netherworld.
Back to Netherworld.
Stop talking about ourselves.
Yeah, no kidding. you tell us holidays, because we're getting sidetracked super easy, apparently. But what I found interesting is that, yes, they're moving, but they're staying within the county.
Right, which they're really happy about. Yeah. The county's really happy that they're staying.
Yeah, you can tell that Gwinnett County is bending over backwards to help them and keep them in the county.
Right.
Which is great. This whole episode actually is nothing but stories of towns and counties working with and supporting haunters, which is
right
kind of a reversal of what we usually see.
Well, yeah, because, you know, come September, it's all about this one can't open and that one can't open because the city changed their mind.
Yeah, this one can't open and the city changed its mind. This one didn't get random permit 85 they didn't know they needed. And it gets a little frustrating. But yeah, Gwinnett County is super stoked that they're moving. Now, a nearby business owner did speak out against the move. He had concerns about traffic and noise.
Right.
That's typical here, but Gwinnett County basically overruled him and is granting all the permits they need to make this happen. So
right, and there's already plans for plenty of parking and plenty of entrances into the parking area.
Yeah. So this is, this is great news. I'm looking forward to seeing what Netherworld does with its new home, its new digs.
Yeah.
I don't think, my understanding is it will not be this season they open there.
Yeah, it's probably going to take them a little while.
It's going to take them a little while. I know from experience with haunts in our area that these moves are oftentimes, you see the planning and the rezoning happen years sometimes.
Right.
Before it actually does. Like, I know 13th Gate at one point was thinking about moving. I don't know if they ever put the
I think they have the land.
Okay.
I think they own the land, but it's going to be a several year journey.
Yeah, they're not looking at it as an immediate thing.
Right.
And they might not do it. The idea might completely fall through.
Yeah.
You never know. But that's the thing. Don't necessarily expect it to be the 2017 season. They didn't say, but
yeah.
I would be surprised if it happened 2017.
Me too. That would be like coming in with the big trucks and putting the the lifts under the whole thing and moving it at once.
Quick, I need about 1,000 forklifts.
Yeah.
Where do I rent those at?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right, moving to the West Coast, haunt called San Francisco Dungeon.
Yes.
Trying to get that right. Opened a new attraction. This actually happened in the last news cycle, but it just didn't pop up in my feed for some reason.
Right.
But it seemed worth mentioning. This is an article by Joe Rosato Jr. in the NBC Bay Area. Long story short, the San Francisco Dungeon is a year-round haunted attraction on and technically under Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah.
It's an attraction that takes you and lets you explore passages under the city, which sounds a lot like what we did in Budapest, except I'm sure this is a little more than just some guy handing you a lantern and wishing you luck.
Yeah, it is, definitely. It is staffed year-round with actors, and it goes through some of the history of the wharf in the San Francisco area, which I thought was an interesting idea.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not all haunty and stuff. It's also educational.
Yes. Edutainment, as they like to say.
Yes, exactly.
But they've added a new attraction. It is a drop ride, and they advertise it as the only below sea level drop ride.
Yeah.
Which I think Death Valley might want to have a talk with you.
Well, it might be the only one there.
Yeah.
Okay. So
regardless. But it's a $2 million ride called Escape from Alcatraz. It's meant to simulate the drop a prisoner escaping from the famous prison would have had to make into the icy water below.
Right. So you start up at the top and you drop two stories. But not into icy water.
No.
They make that clear.
Not into icy water, yes. And they do expect, unlike actual Alcatraz history, where most of the people who attempted to escape didn't.
Right, they didn't survive. In fact, only 5 of the 36 got away.
So. They expect all escapees on this ride to make it.
To make it, yeah.
But no, I was looking up information about this attraction. I found it very, very interesting for all the reasons you just said. It's it's taking advantage of, I don't know if they're natural passages underneath San Francisco, but they're taking advantage of passages that are already there, putting in a haunted attraction, and then adding in a layer of history to it.
Right.
You don't see that a whole lot.
Well, and they're, you really don't. I mean, the thing that I could compare it to would be the Pirate Museum down in Key West that we went to.
Oh, that was so wonderful.
Yeah. So that's kind of where my brain is going with it, except with extra actors and a drop.
If anyone is sitting there going Pirate Museum in Key West, it's because it moved to St. Augustine not long after we went to
Right.
We were there 2006, early 2006.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was in Key West when we were there, but it's not there no more. And if you are near St. Augustine and you haven't been to the Pat Croce Pirate Museum, go.
Just shut up.
Pause the podcast and go now. we'll wait. It's okay. I mean, I'll wait right here. It's fine. But you need to go to bed. I'll hang out right here. I don't care. But, yeah. And you would think in a town like New Orleans, though, a haunt would have done more with it. We do have like ghost tours and things that kind of meld the I guess you would say the haunt factor with history a little bit, but that doesn't feel quite the same.
Yeah, but I mean this is actually in kind of a unique situation or part of Fisherman's Wharf because it's right next to Tussauds Wax Museum and. I think I saw a Ripley's nearby in the background on the, you know, so it's in that kind of area.
Is there an unwritten rule that there has to be a Ripley's near every haunted attraction we cover this week?
Apparently. We, you know, I can write it down and then it won't be unwritten anymore.
You know, we lost our Ripley's here in New Orleans. They left.
We did.
Yeah, they left us. We had a Believe It or Not here. They left after Katrina.
Yep.
So, yeah. Maybe I might have a little bit of a grudge against Ripley's because of that, actually. Because
now it's like at Chico's or something.
Yeah, anyway. Yo, no, it's that, what's that? It's that weird clothing shop, Automatique, would I forget it. It's clothing that I would neither wear nor can afford, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, pretty much.
How's that?
Yeah.
But anyway, so it looks like a great little ride, good addition to it. And, yeah, it's open year-round, so go check it out if you're in the area.
Yep.
Now, this one's sad. The Western Museum cuts ties with Haunted Mines after 10 years.
Yeah, I don't get this one.
This one really befuddles me. I'm going to be straight.
Yeah.
Anyways, the article is by Alyssa Smith at the Colorado Springs Independent. But basically, the Haunted Mines in Colorado Springs is looking for a new home quite abruptly because they received a letter from the Western Museum of Mining and Industry telling them to make 2017 a quote-unquote tear-down year.
Yeah. And I guess what they're meaning is to use the year to tear down everything and not have a season even.
Yeah, basically, yes.
That's what it sounded like, which is... It's just terrible. I mean, and there was no explanation for it. It was completely out of the blue.
Yeah, the owner says this, there was no, not even a mention, no talk, no warning, no indication they were unhappy. Just get a letter out of the blue.
Right. Just, wow. So, yeah. I mean, they have not been in contact with the Western Museum yet.
And they're hoping to get in touch with them after the holidays.
Right. They wanted to take care of their crew first and make sure they were okay and get through the holidays and then try to sort this mess out because something, it just doesn't sound right, you know?
There's something missing to this story, and I don't know what it is, and I get the feeling they don't know what it is either.
Right.
Because, according to them, they have donated over $1 million to the community.
Yeah.
Most of it, I'm assuming, to that museum.
Yeah.
And they've done over $340,000 in the last 3 years alone. That's a lot of money.
Right. So they're looking for somebody to partner with in that area. So if you're in that area and have space to, you know, let a haunted attraction be part of you, they're looking at a fire department, I think, was offering them an old firehouse.
And that's just it. They can rock up and say, look, we made $1 million in 10 years for the organizations we support.
Yep.
You want $1 million?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the sales pitch, man.
Yeah.
That's like the easiest sales pitch ever. And, you know, we went to that thing at HauntCon where they talked about charity haunting.
Right.
And why so many haunts start out that way is because it's a very natural partnership. Because a charity can provide a location.
Right.
It can provide volunteers.
Yeah.
And it can provide that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tax in a 501(c)(3) and all that jazz. All that stuff to really help a haunt get off the ground quickly. And the haunt just simply donates 51% of its profits to the charity. And you know, they can still earn their living off of it, too.
Right.
You know, basically the idea is that, you know, running a charity haunt does not necessarily mean you don't get paid.
Right.
It just means you're giving a majority of your profits to this charity.
Yeah, and that's profits. That's not, not, you know, your operating costs.
And you do have additional accounting. You have other things you have to do. Speak to your lawyers about all the stuff you have to do and stay on top of, please. This is not legal advice, but...
No.
It's a very natural partnership because, you know, nonprofits have locations, they have people, and they're probably not using everything that they have in a lot of cases. And if they are, then some of their board members might have space that they can donate. Because that's how the guy that was doing the talk, that's how he got started.
Yep.
Teamed up with a nonprofit. One of the members of the board had a warehouse or something that on his hands he just wasn't doing anything with, gave him permission to use it.
Yeah.
Boom.
You know, I would have loved to have still looked into more if I were still there, the Navy base. Because now that they've made it the old base accessible to the general public, they have all these empty buildings.
Oh, yes.
I would love to partner up with the Rec Committee and get one of their buildings.
Yeah, the Federal City Project here in Algiers. Yeah. I kind of agree with them. If what they're saying is accurate, they won't have much trouble finding a new partner.
Yeah, I don't think so, because they've got a proven track record of bringing in the money.
They've been doing it since 2006.
Yeah.
That's a proven track record of making money and supporting the community. And, you know, I don't know what reason they would have had for separating from them or wanting to get away.
Yeah.
But when you have that kind of track record, people know you produce.
Yeah.
There will be someone there who's eager to get their hands on that money.
Right.
All right. And another sad story this week. And this article is by Nick Kepler at The Incline. Terrortown near Pittsburgh folded. And this is actually a very interesting news story describing the auctioning off of the Haunt.
Right.
I've never been to a haunted attraction auction.
No. We've never been close enough to one.
No. None near us went out of business in such a way that they were auctioned off.
Right.
At least not that I heard. But anyways, it was nearly a 30,000 square foot attraction. And it was auctioned off more or less piece by piece. They included selling some individual props and then selling some whole scenes, too, like a UFO alien ship scene.
Right.
Was sold for about $375.
Yeah.
They even acted, this is true, they actually sold the kitchen sink.
A metal they probably sold a couple, but yeah.
Yeah. But it was sold for $45. The whole process took about 4 hours, and they said that most of the attendees were from other haunted attractions, to which I say, duh.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, it's a very interesting story, and they talked about, and one person in this, they interviewed, said that he spent $10,000 at this auction.
Right.
But scooped up pneumatics worth well over $50,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things where there's opportunity in this, and I have to say, if my haunt ever did go under,
right,
I would want something like this to happen to it, where our stuff could live on and continue scaring people elsewhere.
Yeah, me too.
I think this is a really good way to do it, and I hope all these haunts make great use of whatever they have purchased.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the top seller was a $1,000 electric chair setup.
Yeah, which we've actually looked into that exact setup. It's like $5,000 if you buy it new.
Yeah.
So, once again, getting about an 80% discount on buying new, it seems, for a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, and if we had heard about it beforehand, we could have told you. Sorry.
Yeah, we did not hear about it beforehand. I'm sorry. Now, this is also another, this is another uplifting story here, though. The Heard family in Roxbury was honored. Excuse me. Oh.
Yeah.
For their haunted attraction and for their work in the community.
Right.
This article is by Mike Condon at New Jersey Hills. Basically, the Heard family is from Sukasuna? Crystal, help, I didn't adult with this one.
I think that's as close as I could get it.
It's a New Jersey town. The town council honored them for their home haunt. The home haunt began in 1986.
Right.
To put that in perspective, I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
But it really began taking off in 1995, which is about when I started haunting.
Right.
And now attracts thousands every year. They also praised, both of them are heavily involved with the school district. They actually helped launch a campaign that was saved $1 million in state funding that was going to have been cut from the district.
Right.
So they are really strong members of the community, and they were heavily recognized by their town council, and that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very involved in the local politics there, like you said. And
it's interesting because we talk all the time about how, you know, even home haunters often have these really nasty struggles with their local town councils or, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so forth. Here is one recognizing the good that they do. And
yeah.
I don't know, it's such a sweet story, and this these seem like some amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
So, all in all, another great story. And then we're going to end this week with a weird one. I first heard about this a few weeks ago, right after it happened.
Right.
And long story short, apparently, and I've been to Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Multiple times. I was unaware of this when I was there.
Yeah.
But apparently, there is a haunted pillar, or was a haunted pillar, as the story goes on.
Well, and possibly is.
Yes, possibly is. It's Schrodinger's pillar right now. How's that? It both exists and does not exist in the same breath, for reasons we'll understand. Now, the haunted pillar, which is in downtown Augusta, was knocked over in an automobile accident this month. And on the 19th, crews came and basically removed the debris, well, what was left of it.
Right.
Saying basically it was in the right-of-way, it was a potential hazard where it was.
Yeah.
And they took it off.
Right.
Took it away. I have no idea. I tried to find out why this pillar was haunted. Did you have any better luck than me?
Nope. Just said that it was, and there was a legend around it. You know, just one of those things that happens.
You know, I really do not know. I did try to find information on it. I have no... I said that, and then I just accidentally found another link here that actually might have it. Apparently, the rumor is that it was a whipping post. It's apparently not just called the Haunted Pillar. It's called the Cursed Pillar, which might be why it didn't show up in my initial searches. It also apparently was one of the few things that survived a very serious tornado that struck the city. So it's got a little legend behind it. But it was destroyed in a car accident and then taken off. Now the city is mulling whether or not to rebuild it.
Yeah, it looks like they want to,
but according to the city's, the statement from the city, they need to get a structural engineer to develop a plan to put it back. And I'm assuming also, you know, make it safe so the next time a car crashes into it, no one gets hurt.
Well, I think that it's better for the pillar to crash than the, you know.
Well, you don't want it to crash on top of the person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but...
I actually did a little bit of research once upon a time into like all the requirements for road signs and so forth and things like guardrails and all that and how they have to be designed.
Yeah.
And it's basically the MO is they have to be designed in such a way that they sacrifice themselves completely and totally to keep human beings safe. Kind of like your car does. It's designed to do the same thing. And what that means is things like, you know, signs have to, when they're struck, they have to make sure they bend the correct way. They don't, you know, like come back over themselves.
Right.
So, you know, they have to be designed very meticulously. So I'm sure that's what they're talking about this. But yeah, this pillar has apparently been the subject of many paranormal investigations.
Yes.
Yes, I'm not actually kidding about any of this. And it's attracted ghost hunters from all over the world.
Yeah. And they've been getting lots of calls since this story broke, asking more about the legend, because we aren't the only ones who can't find the full story.
Yeah, it's very bizarre, because like I said, I've spent some time in Augusta, not a great deal of time. I mean, I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina. And so, you know, you travel to Atlanta, you travel to Augusta, you travel to Charlotte and Greenville, you know what I mean? The area around, that sphere. Augusta's inside that sphere. I've been there a few times. It's quite beautiful, but I was completely unaware of the Haunted Pillar.
Yeah.
Have you been to Augusta? I'm trying to remember.
I think that's where we were delayed, so not really.
Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, it's one of those things where I have been... I just find this story endlessly fascinating. I do hope they rebuild it, but also it seems like a lot of people are actually upset about them rebuilding it, because if they rebuild it, it just won't be the same.
Right.
It won't be the Haunted Pillar.
Yeah, it's the whole, if you know, take a ship and you start replacing parts, how long is it until it's no longer
the same ship? Yes.
Yes. It's an old philosophy question.
Yes. But, you know, humans do that with our cells all the time. We have none of the same cells we had, or
five
same
years.
Molecules. Yeah, 5 years.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're totally a new person, literally.
Yeah. Yes, you're literally a new person every 5 years.
Yes. So, happy New You Day.
Yeah.
it's now Boxing Day. Every 5 years on Boxing Day, you look back and go, I'm a new me.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Solving your problems. But yeah, it's a fascinating little story. And that's all the news we have right now, honestly. Anything from this list you wanted to talk about a little bit more? We got a few more minutes.
No, not really.
Okay, well, we don't have to. I mean, we can end a little early today. It is, like I said, the holiday season. I guess we can allow ourselves about 5 minutes early.
We'll be actually going to a room escape later today.
Yes, we will.
So.
It'll be actually only our second room escape.
Right.
I'm very, very curious about this one, because the one we're going to actually is not a haunted attraction room escape.
Right. It's not put on by a haunted house. It's put on by somebody else.
It's not put on by a haunted house, and it's not haunt themed.
Right.
It's kind of detective themed.
Yeah. Which should make it interesting.
It should make it very interesting. Like I said, we'll have more to say about it, I'm sure, next week or sometime soon thereafter, including whether or not we escaped in time.
Yeah. Yes, the first one we did, we technically didn't, but did. I don't know.
Okay. The one we had time penalties.
Right.
For using clues. So our group used clues, which pushed us over the hour time, but we physically got out within the hour.
Right.
So,
and it still said that we escaped.
I still think we escaped. Did we just basically have like the lowest score possible?
Yeah.
We made it out with like literally 20 seconds to go.
Yeah, in fact, I should go and play an escape game before we go to this one, just so that I can...
get your skills up a little bit. Come on.
Getting the right kind of thinking.
Get your edge back on. Well, yeah, we can knock off a few minutes early this week. It's been wonderful having you. I hope the holiday season was everything you wanted it to be and then some. And get to work. It's only 10 months till October now.
Yeah. Also, Happy New Year to everyone.
Oh, Happy New Year, yes.
Please be safe on the roads out there and remember.
Yes, especially in the Northeast where they are being hit by a nasty blizzard right now. Be doubly careful there.
Yeah.
So on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. Once again, you can find us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly, at Facebook as Haunt Weekly. I know it's like we got a theme or something. We're also at hauntweekly.com where you can get all those links, plus all the great subscription links to get us in your inbox as these episodes go live.
Yay! Yeah.
Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 56, doing the news. We'll be back next week with another show, the first one of 2017. 2017, please. 2016, please don't kill anyone else while we're gone. just stop. just take the week off.
Just end quietly.
We're done. We'll see you next week.